next week. Stand up, Bill. Yeah, in case they don't know who you are. People introduce, they say, this is Bill Hart, Bill Vanderbush, and we're going by two different names. I'm called Wild Bill, and he's Crazy Bill. Yeah. Actually, that's not a very good title to put on you, is it, Bill? I'll go by Wild Bill, we'll call him Sane Bill. Yeah. Crazy Bill's good too, isn't it? Yeah, my actual name is not Bill, but it's actually Houston. I tried to call myself that in college because I wanted to go back to my original name. And so I would write my poetry when I was in college. I used to sit out by the pool and write poetry. I have to admit, I was doing a few other things along with writing the poetry that enhanced my creative juices. And I would write Houston Hart was how I would sign my poetry. And my friend, Zane, was just got back from the Marines and served in Vietnam in the 3rd Marines. He was at the Quezon. So we were living together in Amarillo, Texas. This was 1968. And he didn't like the name Houston because I grew up calling me Bill. So everywhere we went, he would say Bill, and I'd say, no, Houston. So on a fateful night, in I guess it was in October, before Sue left, where are you at, Sue? Anyway, I'll tell the story now that she's not here. Yeah, if I stop talking in the middle of my sentence, she'll know she walked in the back door. So 1968, after excessive partying by Zane and me, we woke up one morning and said, you know what, it'd be nice to meet a nice girl and settle down. I was actually dating a girl at the time named Patty Hoseapple. She actually wore spurs. Don't go there. So, man, am I in trouble now. So, Patty was nice, you know, but really wasn't the kind of girl I wanted to settle down with. Cowboy hat and boots. Being a sophisticated like myself, I didn't really want to wind up with a cowgirl. So there was this band playing in town. Their Sue came in now. Thank God I said all that stuff before she got here. There was this band playing in town called the Strawberry Alarm Clock. I know that all of you have instant name recognition. Raise your hand if you heard of the Strawberry Alarm Clock. Their number one hit back in the day was called Incense and Peppermint. They were a psychedelic band out of England. Some of you young people here don't know what psychedelic bands mean, but believe me, you don't want to know. So our next door roommate at the apartment that we were staying in, called the Wolfland Village, was a DJ at a local station. So this local station was one of the co-sponsors of the concert that Strawberry Alarm Clock came in for. So he invited them over to a private party after the concert at his apartment. And Zane and I went to the party, and Zane was hooked up with a girl named Darla, who was a private date, who was dating a girl that the DJ was dating that knew Darla. So they started dating. So about 3 weeks later, I'm at the pool one night writing my poetry. And Zane says, it's a Sunday night. He said, let's go over to the Denny's and get us some pie or something, coffee or whatever. And I said, okay. So it's about 7:30 or 8 o'clock. And so we get over there, and we're sitting in the corner booth. And little did I know that Zane had set me up, him and Darla had set me up to meet Sue. So Sue and Darla were coming from a choir practice at Baptist Church. Just the kind of girl I was looking for. I'm 20 years old, and of course I thought I was 30. And Sue came in. She was 18 years old. She comes in and said, wow. She had this 60s hairstyle, you know. big, beautiful eyes. And she was embarrassed to death, but I didn't realize that. She had this coat on. It was chilly. It was October of 1968. She put her hand like this and looked at me and had this big, beautiful eyes, and I thought it was a come-on look. I mean, wouldn't most of y'all think that? But really, it was basically, I'm trying to cover my face, you know. And so that's where we met. And 3 months later, we were married. And the rest is history. Hallelujah. I have to say for sure that we wouldn't be here this morning if Sue Hart hadn't come into my life in 1968. I would have been somewhere else. Fly me to the moon or something, you know. Thank you, honey, for being such a stabilizing force in my life. And amen. Give Sue a hand clap. I wanted to share that a little bit because after Walter's wild stories from Friday night, I wanted to make sure you realize he's not the only one that has wild stories. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. I just want to, man, I tell you, Easter morning is like Christmas Day, and it's like all these other times. We always have this kind of what we call a boiler room message we go to concerning the different holidays. And so I don't want to come across that way this morning because really there's something fresh that God is speaking to us during this season. And when we come to Easter, we come to the time of the resurrection. God just really begins to reinforce to us the correlation and the identification that we have with Christ and with one another. The scriptures tells us that we're to be to identify with him. In other words, we're to line ourselves up with Christ in every aspect of who he is and what he's done for our lives. For we can partake of everything that he has partaken of himself. He's called the high priest. He's called the first begotten among many sons. And that identity that he has with the Father, he becomes the example or the path by which we follow. Because the ultimate goal of we, the church, is to be found in total identification with who he is. Where Jesus said it so well when he said, just as I am, just as what I am, so is also the Father. What I say, the Father says. What I think, the Father thinks. How I respond, what I show you is what the Father is showing you. So the resurrection really becomes the catalyst by which we're tied into this experience of oneness. Everybody say resurrection equals oneness. So we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 45, and it'd be good to go back and read from verse 35 to get the full meaning of this, because he's talking about this physical body and a spiritual body. And it said, it's written that the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, but afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. I was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as of the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So it's talking about two different men. You know, the Greek, there's two words for life. Bios is a Greek word, which means, of course, that's the root word of biology, which means the natural, the physical man. Tap your chest, say, I'm a bios. Okay, you're a bios person. In other words, your flesh has limitations, doesn't it? How many realize your flesh isn't going to live forever? I know when you're young and you're teens or even younger, or 20s, you think, well, man, I'm going to be the one person that defies medical breakthroughs, medical statistics, and I'm going to have a medical breakthrough, and my physical man is going to live forever. Some people even freeze their bodies in the hope that one day there'll be cures for their diseases so they can be woken up and healed. Because there's something about the bios nature that wants to live, not die. But our separation from God through the fall in the Garden of Eden created this death, the separation. The moment we got separated from Him, our physical being began to have a progression of death. But the good news is we know this, that Christ came to bring us to become a new man. Whereas no longer are we relying upon this natural man, but now we have a spiritual man through Christ. Now this spiritual man, the beautiful part of him, this one that came from heaven, is that he bore the image of the Father. We were created in the image of God. We were intended to be in his image and to be the express purpose of his will upon the earth. That's God's original plan of creation. You weren't created to wallow in the dust. You weren't created to wallow in this plan that your body goes through of decay and destruction. That was not the intent of God in creation. God said, this is man, I'm making him after my image. The first man, Adam. But we know the fall of man created the separation of man from God. So no matter how hard this flesh man tries to be perfect, it cannot achieve it. No matter how righteous we want to be, it eludes us. How many found that to be true? And sometimes even like Paul in Romans 7, the harder I try, the less I become. The more I seek to make this man better, the more it seems this man messes up. How many can say that's pretty well works for you as well, that you would carry the word mess up in your middle name? Hey, I'm Bill Mess Up Hart, or Houston Mess Up Hart. That's been the story of my life. I've messed up, it seems, far more than I've done things right. How many could kind of agree with what I'm saying? But the good news is this. The qualifications for me to become like the Heavenly Father is not dependent upon how much I messed up, but how much I received from Him. Because now through Christ, He has spoken again by the Spirit, let us create a man in our image. So, in order to get into the image of God, there's a process, isn't it? It's called rebirth. Everybody say rebirth. So how can a man be born again if he's already been born once? Well, yes, I was born in April 1948, Muleshoe, Texas. Oops, I gave you my real age. By the way, Bill, I'm not going to forget my birthday because I want the offering. Some of you weren't here. Bill had a birthday here a couple of weeks ago, and we were saying, raise your hand if you had a birthday. By the way, we forgot to do that this morning. Cheryl, you forgot. You messed up. Huh? Yeah, raise your hand if you have a birthday this week or this coming week or today even. Amen. Lots of you. Stand up, man. Stand up if you're going to have a birthday. Hey, all over. Happy birthday to you. And many more. So back to this mess up. So in order for there to be a cleanup of the mess up, God sent Jesus Christ. Sent him to to say, here now is another image that you haven't seen before. This is a new image. This is my image. This is who I am. Because before that, men were kind of stabbing in the dark. Well, where's God? What does he look like? How is he? What is he? What does he want? Oh, God, help me. You know, that's kind of the way man was. But when Christ came, he said, this is it. Here I am. I'm here. This is the image of the Father. And this is the image that I'm going to create in you. Wow. So he says, those that are in Christ enter in through this process called resurrection. Amen? Everybody said the resurrection leads us into the image. Amen. Because it becomes the entire foundation of what we become. For Christ is the beginning, he's the middle, and he's the end of everything we are. But the beautiful process about this birth is that we have to understand birth is only the beginning. Everybody say, birth is the beginning. Many Christians have got hung up just on the birth process. I mean, it's fun just to live in the birthing room, isn't it? Not if you're the one giving birth, but if you're the one rejoicing in the birth. So many Christians get caught up and say, let's get more people born again. Hallelujah. Born again, born again, born again, born again, born again. And it's great. Man, let's get people born again. But we have to also realize that the born again experience is only the beginning of the process. Because there's a purpose in birth. And the purpose is to be finished into the image of the Father. Amen. That's why Paul said, I want to pray that you're going to grow up in your understanding. I don't want to just speak to you as babes anymore, just giving you milk. I want you to eat some bread. And then after that, I'm going to give you some meat. You just thought God wanted you to be a vegetarian. And I'll probably step on some toes here, what I'm about to say. I probably shouldn't say it then, should I? I'm trying to become politically correct in a year of not being politically correct in our political scene. How many know that far too many preachers are too politically correct? So I'm going to say it. Eat some meat. The church needs to be crying out in this hour, show me the meat. Show me the beef. We want a hunger and thirst to become your sons. Hallelujah. Woo. Wow. I love this stuff. He said, in verse 54, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall we brought to pass the saying, it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? Hades, where is your victory? I'd always read that at memorial services. It's a good scripture for that, isn't it? But it means more than that. Death is swallowed up in victory. This whole way of thinking about what you used to be is destroyed in the victory of Christ. You don't have to thinking anymore about becoming an Adamic man, thinking about being a bios person that's just controlled by their flesh, thinking about a person that's simply living your life out to one day die and have a funeral. The one day that you hope that you just make it to heaven. No, death is swallowed up in victory. This bios man has totally given away now to this heavenly man that God has given us. Hallelujah. You are that heavenly man, that heavenly woman. I know you might not look heavenly, smell heavenly, act heavenly, talk heavenly, but that's a lie. You are heavenly. Amen. It's like saying you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, who can believe that? I mean, you know that we're not that righteous, but yet we are in Christ, aren't we? Everything is in Christ that we've become. Because of Him, I can stand free from the power of death, the sting of death. I no longer have to pay the penalty for it. But, you know, this is actually going better than I thought it would this morning. Until I listen back to the tape, you know. So, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new expression. He has a new voice. He has a new mind. He has a new heart. He has a new motivation. He has a new desire. If any man is in Christ, he's new. Thank God I'm in Christ this morning. I don't want to be like that Adamic man. I want to be like that man. Hallelujah. The man that is pouring out his peace and love and joy into my life. In Him I live, in Him I move, in Him I have my being. That Christ man, that new man that's within me, resurrection power in my life. Whew. I love this stuff. Man, it gets better. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. His old things have passed away. Everything has become new. It's all new. It's all fresh. It's all alive. No stale produce here. This is the living manna from heaven. This is the water that flows from God. It's fresh and alive. This is the heart of the Father beating within us with love for the world the way He loved it. The thing that I was so stricken Friday with Walter's great testimony, this wonderful evangelist of God, apostolic evangelist, it's this heart that God has for the world. He was telling this story that so touched me. Going to Manila to the garbage dumps outside of Manila, Philippines. They call it Smoky Mountain. And I'd heard of the stories of this before, but it's almost incomprehensible to believe when we live in a nation like this, that in this garbage dump outside the city, the great metropolitan city of Manila, 150,000 people live in cardboard and plastic. 1 week alone, 70 children died from disease and malnutrition. First time he went there, walks out to the garbage dump, and he said the odor is so nauseous. You can imagine the odor, not only from the garbage, but from the human waste and from just the decay of the situation. And the group of kids begin to come towards them. One little girl put her bead right on him. And she began to run towards him. And he's thinking, you know, as Adam would think, hey, wow, okay. Stay, you know, come close, but don't quite get on me. That wasn't her intention, though. She intended to find something, whether he wanted to give it or not. So she jumps up in his arms, half naked, sores, abrasions all over her body, nose running down, smells, and kisses him. Of course, that broke his heart. Since then, he began to allude to the fact they've had a great ministry there in that region among the Smoky Mountain people. You see, what she saw in him, she didn't see Adam. She saw something from heaven. And that's what she was drawn to. when we become that image from heaven, he be lifted up. He'll draw men to himself. But that he that's lifted up is in you. This is the wild part about this thing that God's speaking lately. This is the crazy part. This is the part that is really going to blow some religious minds later on. Not here, but as we go forward. When Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, Lazarus was dead. Was it Martha, Mary or Martha? Was it who? Martha? Mary? Is it my brother's dead? Whoever, Mary or Martha. My brother's dead. Don't make a difference. We take license here, right? Occasionally, I expose some ignorance to you so you realize that I'm not theologically trained. If you didn't already know that already. But where'd you get your training? Mule Shoe, Texas. I tell you, it didn't take a brain scientist to graduate from Mule Shoe High School. I don't recall one time studying the whole time I was in school. But I could play football and golf, ride around in my car and play Buddy Holly, This Is the Day, Peggy Sue, stuff like that. But when they came to the tomb, Jesus said, hey, he's only sleeping. Don't worry about it. Chill out. I am the resurrection, and I'm the life. And he that believeth in me shall never perish. Isn't it going to be cool as a church that we come to this place of transformation where we begin to stand and say, hey, we're the resurrection. And we're the life.
Yes, we are.
You're never going to perish. Oh, wait a minute. What about you saying we? Yes, we. Because in order for Christ to fulfill his ministry, it must be fulfilled in you.
That's right.
It cannot be fulfilled in Jesus singular. Most of us in the Christian world are stuck on this fact that, hey, there's Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We love you, Lord. You're everything we need. You're everything we want. You're everything we desire. Not realizing that what he came to do was to create that in you.
Amen.
So that the world will see it in you and crave what's in him that's in you. They'll crave that. Well, here, there's Jesus up there. I mean, don't pay attention to what I am. Just look at him. Look at him. No, you got to look at you. You're the representation. You're the duplication. You're the manifestation. You're the incarnation of who he is in you. The word is becoming flesh in you. To many he's received the word. To them he'll give the power to become the children of God. Sorry. I know you wanted to say, stop. Let's just live like most Christians. Let's just go to church and hum a lot, play a little hum, or a little hum, a little homage to God. Homage to God. God, here I am. I'm at church. I'm giving you a little homage. And, oh, yes, I'll even give a tithe and a little worship. And then I'll see you again in a few weeks. And we'll do some more homage. Homaging you, Lord. I'm homaging you. No, the Lord's saying, this is the church I'm bringing you in because this is the place that I call my womb that's birthing the sons upon the earth. This is the place that you're going to be manifested through. This is the house of God that I'm going to reveal myself through. And it finally will be fulfilled. Christ. Christ in you. The hope of glory. When they see Christ in us, not some Christ, they'll see, come unto me, all you that labor, and all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Come, ye that are in strife, and I'll bring you to peace. Come, ye that are poor, and I'll bring you into his riches. Come ye that thirst, and I'll give you water to drink. Come you that hunger, and I'll give you bread to eat. That's the Christ they're going to see in the church. Not some pious, rich, arrogant, self-righteous institution, but a broken people that understand the nature that they have. It's not from themselves, but it's the nature that they received from their Heavenly Father to become the image of Him upon the earth. To where one day we can all say, come, you little girls, you that are broken, suffering, come to us. There's your salvation for you. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? I'm not saying that you're going to be a big G in this whole equation, like God with the capital. I even like my iPhone. You put God in it, automatically capitalizes it. I don't have to worry about that. I always almost was scared when I'd write that I'd accidentally make a little H instead of a big H, or a big G instead of a little, you know, a bit little G instead of a big G. I gotta hurry up, change that. No, I don't want anybody to see it. The iPhone does it for you. Big G. Guess what? There's a big G in there. But you are a little G. Ye, the scripture says, I don't say it, don't blame me. Ye are gods. What it means by that, it's not you're the big G God, but you are the perfect representation of who God is. They don't come to worship you. It's through you they worship Him. Jesus said, hey, don't worship me. Worship the Father. We say the same thing. Don't worship us. Worship the Father. Amen. Not by my works did I give you this. None of this is my works. This is not my hand, not my doing. I can't love you that much, but He can through me. The heavenly image, the resurrected Christ. Wow. Man, I like this stuff. Close it out with this. You've already got all you need, right? Say yes, please. Sue's saying, say yes. Yes. There's three things. There's the crucifixion, there's the burial, and there's the ascension. You have to understand that those three aspects are the only things you really have to worry about. To identify with Christ, when Jesus died on the cross, what did He do for you? He took every sin that you've ever committed, or you ever will commit, or even thought about committing, He took that to the cross with Him, and He made it obsolete. And in the unrealistic, even in my mind, thought that someone could actually forgive me and not remember what He forgave me for. That's wild. That He abolished all my record and cleansed me totally. Wow. The reason why is because He refuses to look upon me with any bias towards me. He only sees me in what I am in Him. He says, I no longer know any man. And that, everybody said, that includes me, any man. I no longer know any man after the flesh. Don't know them after the flesh. But I only know them by what happened through the cross, which was a total cleansing of everything that was wrong with me, so that I don't even remember what it was. I mean, I grew up in West Texas. And every now and then, my old Adamic man will rise up and say, remember what it was like in West Texas. Remember your prejudices. Remember your racist. Remember your sexist thoughts. No, I don't remember those things, because that's not what I am now. I've come to receive all men. Don't you qualify who you're receiving? What if they're a Democrat? What if they say they're going to vote for Bernie Sanders? What are you going to do with that bunch? Christ receiveth sinful men. Trump with Trump. How about that bunch? Coming to me, you that are all heavy laden and burdened. The Lord doesn't look upon you and see the divisions among you. He doesn't see that in you. He doesn't see that you're divided. He doesn't see that you're confused. He doesn't see that you're conflicted. He doesn't see that you're having identity problems. He sees what He's made you to be. Yes. Through the cross. Yes. Through the cross. Through the cross. I am crucified with Christ. And it's no longer now me that lives. But Christ now lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. By faith. What does faith mean? Faith means you're calling those things as not as though they were. I'm living by calling those things as not though they were. I'm living by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave His life for me through the cross. That I found my identity. So I'm not going to be defined anymore by what you think that I am. Well, let's see, I think he's a conservative. I think he's a liberal. I think he's a this or that. He's a that or this or that. No, I don't care what you think I am. I'm not going to be defined by your thought. I'm going to be defined by his cross. Because it was through the cross my new identity became established in who I was. I am the resurrection. Power of everything that he gave has become mine, and it's my identity now. That's me. Hallelujah. Through the cross, he was made to be sin, that and he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then he was buried. And we become buried as well. It said Romans chapter 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. So when we were buried, and we followed the Lord in baptism, don't we? What do we say in baptism? Buried with him in baptism. So, in other words, we go down under with him. Now we're raised to walk in the newness of life. What raises you up? It's the glory. It's the glory of God that raises you up into something new. You see, no matter how much you put the principles to, how much you try to make the principles work for you, they don't work for you alone. You cannot mentally assent to righteousness. You cannot mentally assent to the finished work of the cross. You cannot mentally assent to where this transformation comes to you. There has to be the equation that the same glory that reached down into the grave and raised Christ from the dead will also touch you and raise you up into something new. It's the glory of God. It never comes through the intellectual stimulus of understanding the truth of what it is. It's the anointing that raises you up to become that. Hello? Everybody say hello. Well, yes, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, I am perfect. Yet your life just goes this other direction. No, that's not true. When the glory comes, it takes you in this direction. Amen? Everybody say the glory. Raise your hands up. Say, I want the glory. I want the anointing. I want the resurrection. I want the power to raise me up. I want the anointing to touch my life. See, I never was transformed by doctrine. I was transformed by his presence. It's in the encounter that I've had with God that transformed me. And see, it's the encounter that you have with God, but it's also the encounter you have with one another. See, some of you are vaguely in vain looking for an encounter with God when it may be sitting right next to you. Oh, if God would only forgive me. Turn to your left. No, not right now, but hey, would you forgive me? Wow. Whoever sins you forgive shall be forgiven. Sometimes your encounter with God is just a few inches away from you. Hallelujah. Might be sleeping right next to you in that double bed. That might be your encounter with God. Wash this man's feet. Oh, no, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. Forgive that man's sins. No, no, no. Yes, 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 yes. Make room for this person. No, no, no. Yes, 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 yes. That's your encounter. See, the glory is revealed not just with some supernatural, but it's revealed in the simplicity of oneness. Hallelujah. I mean, I like the but I love the simplicity of knowing you. How did Paul say that the glory came to him? I just want to know the Lord. Man, the more I know the Lord, the more the glory comes on me. And the glory comes on each other once we know each other. You become my rod. You become my staff. You become the voice that brings still waters. You become that which feeds my soul. It's in you. Wow. I'm skirting on it. One more thing. See, you were in Christ when he died, but you're also there when he was buried. I had to read one note this morning. Then he was raised the third day. Thank God for the resurrection. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, This is Resurrection Sunday. I have to sing that song every Easter. I know that most of you don't know that song. It's not the most popular song in town. I didn't think it would be that popular when I wrote it. It's actually only for the remnant. Hallelujah. Up from the grave he, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. I don't know what I have to do to give a hint to get the band to come up here. The third thing, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. We're in the heavenly places. I kind of feel like I'm in heaven this morning. Woo. I'm in a heavenly place. I'm looking from a high perch. I'm looking from a high position that God has raised me to with him. He seated me together with him at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. I'm not just some subject down here waiting to hear some word from up there. I'm part of the word that God is speaking in this hour. I'm part of the plan that God has in this hour. Hallelujah. Woo. I mean, you want to talk about being liberal. God is sharing the wealth. God is sharing the wealth with his people. Doesn't work out too good in government, but it sure works out good in the kingdom. God is sharing his wealth with us. All the riches of God in Christ Jesus are mine. I've been lifted up into heavenly places. I've been brought into the court of God. I've been brought into a place that no man has ever had before unless he's in the image of the Father. No man can ever obtain to this unless you come through the birth canal of the Spirit and be brought into this heavenly place of God. Happy Easter. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand up. Stand up and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.